Whatever you do, do it heartily, as for the Lord rather than for man. And that very short verse is so helpful because we have a tendency to want to please man so badly.
Welcome to the Sound Words podcast, where it's our goal to help Christians love and live out God's word. I'm Pastor Aaron Nicholson. I'm joined by Pastor Jesse Randolph. And if you're watching this episode on YouTube, you may notice that we are decked out in Husker red today. And that is because we are talking about the Husker legacy of faith. What has God done and what is God doing in the world of sports? And to help us talk about this, we have our friend Gordon Thiessen. Welcome to the Sound Words podcast, Gordon.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on today.
It's wonderful.
Glad to have you here.
Glad to have you here. Gordon Thiessen is co-founder and director of Kingdom Sports, an organization whose mission is to help athletes and coaches see their need for Jesus Christ. Gordon has over 30 years of coaching experience with sports teams and ministries. Gordon, I understand you played for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, the football team, back in the 70s. What position did you play, by the way?
So as a defensive end, it's a little bit like today's linebacker. Mm-hmm. So used to call it a monster defense, and so it's kind of a five-man front. So only kind of Nebraska, true Nebraska football fans understand that or care about that.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I look forward to more of those nuggets here. So you played under Tom Osborne and later coached high school basketball and football for 25 years. Gordon, I know you're a coach, a speaker, author, a certified trainer, and as we like to say on this podcast, most importantly, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you again for just being here and giving your
sure.
insights.
Yeah.
You bet.
Gordon, I've gotten to know you real well in the short time I've lived in Lincoln. We got connected real early on and have crossed paths in many different ways, some church-related, some ministry-related, some Husker-related. So it's a fitting, I think, honor to be able to interview you here on this podcast as we talk about the Husker legacy of faith. It's important to mention, in addition to all of those things Aaron just listed, that you are an elder of the church that you're a part of, Providence Bible in Gretna, just up the road. So you are a follower of Christ. You are involved in all these different ministries related to sports, but you're also a churchman. Mm-hmm. And that's so, so important for all of us to remember as we get involved in all kinds of activities as believers to make sure we're a part of and prioritizing the local church. So, Gordon, I'll start with this question. You have this lengthy resume, this lengthy history of various aspects of service to Christ in these various venues, but how did it all start? Could you share a little bit about yourself, your background, your upbringing, how you came to saving faith in Christ?
Yeah, sure. It starts really not far from this church. Hmm. So this is Indian Hills Church in Lincoln. And so I grew up just off 70th and O Street. Hmm. And so just a Lincoln kid. And it was in the 60s under Bob Devaney. He was the football coach. And so this is a little bit of a connection with the Husker football whole program. But I was probably 9 or 10 years old playing. And then it was the Midget Football League. I think now they call it the Youth Football League here in Lincoln. And I love football. I loved Husker football. Bob Devaney was the man then, a great Husker coach before Tom Osborne. And I just remember I was at our executive banquet. We were the exec club. That was the name of the team. And I had got the award for the best defensive player, I think it was called, for my age group. Maybe I was 10. And a couple of the kids that are in a different age group were next to me. And I remember one of the guys was Craig Bull, who would play with me at Nebraska a few years later. We both went to Lincoln East. And of course, he just finished his career up at Wyoming. Mm. But I'll never forget, we were all inspired by Coach Devaney. And afterwards, he's giving us the awards and he's talking to us boys. And he says, "Boys, you think someday you'll play for me at Nebraska?" And of course, you know, what's 9, 10-year-old boys have to say? And we were just like, you know, we're going to play someday for you, Coach Devaney. Little did I know, it wouldn't be Devaney, but it would be Osborne. In fact, I got the opportunity as a scholarship player with two of my teammates from Lincoln East. So it's very rare, three guys from the same school. I think it's going to happen this next year when three Bellevue West guys come to Nebraska. So it's a rare thing. So we all went to Nebraska. And, you know, growing up, I had got a little bit of church background, not at this church, but another church. It was more of a thing my parents thought I needed to get a little bit of Sunday school, just a little bit. But early on, my dad gave me a choice. He said, "Would you rather I drop you off?" Because they would just drop us off back in the day. I mean, it was bizarre. Just
different world.
Yeah, go in that door and find where Sunday school is at. We'll pull back and pick you up when it's over. And he finally said, if you want, you can stay home on Sundays and watch reruns of Notre Dame football games, or you can go there to the church. And I thought, well, football, right? Mm-hmm. And so I did not have the religious background like a lot of people did in the 60s, even growing up in Lincoln. But my goal was Husker football. It was an idol to me. It was everything to me. And so, but when I went down as a freshman at the University of Nebraska, I thought, this is it. This is all I've worked towards. This is so every kid that grows up in the state, that's what they want to do. And I thought, this is just going to fulfill me. This is perfect. And it was empty. Mm. I mean, I got there and it's kind of like, well, now wait, is this all there is? And I had several teammates and my girlfriend from high school, she went off to Christian college and she had witnessed to me. And so it was second semester of my freshman year when I was just really struggling with school. I was struggling with what should I even be doing football? I don't know that I care about it like I used to. And I read a book, Run Baby Run. And it was about a guy named Nicky Cruz, a gang member. And it's his testimony. It was given to me by a lady. And she said, just read this. You might enjoy the story. And I just remember I got to one part of the book and it talked about Nicky realizing he was a sinner and a need for a savior. And as I was reading that and understanding who Jesus is, how he had died on the cross for those who would repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus, it just struck me. I thought, I'm every bit as in need of a savior as this Nicky Cruz is, a guy who had knifed and, you know, been a gang member. And I thought, I'm not a gang member, but I have the same sin problem. And so just in the middle of the night, just gave myself to the Lord. It wasn't like a Billy Graham crusade. It wasn't like anybody was there. It was just me, but just reading the book and reading those Bible verses. And I remember waking up the next day and it was like everything had changed. Mm. I had one of those kind of Apostle Paul type testimonies, which they're just when they happen, fine, but you don't want your kids to have those kind of testimonies. Because I was just one of those guys that was just far from the Lord, the last person you would think would be involved with a church or Christianity. I'd be the least likely in my graduating class. I was with rough guys kind of doing all the opposite things. And so here I was all of a sudden, I'd encountered the Lord and everything changed for me as a freshman.
Wow.
And then part of my testimony and even what led me to do sports ministry, I was ready to chuck it, to give it all up. And the girl I had dated who went off to the Christian college, she said, well, if you don't think you want to play football anymore, why don't you come up to my college and maybe you want to play here? And I remember telling her, I said, you know, if I'm going to continue to do this, I really want to know why. Why am I doing it? And is there a way to do sports that would, I guess, honor God? Because I don't even know. I don't have no motivation. My goals changed. My motivation has changed. And so she, the second semester of my freshman year, and I'd just become a Christian, and I sat down with the head coach at Bethel College at the time up in the Twin Cities. And this coach didn't know me from anybody, and he just knew there was an appointment, some kid from Nebraska. And I remember he sat me down, and he said, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. What school do you go to? I said, Nebraska. And he said, well, what school in Nebraska? I said, Nebraska, the university. Oh, okay, so are you, like, must be a walk-on, right? And I go, no, I'm a scholarship player. Oh, really? So are you kind of thinking maybe you're not going to have an opportunity to play? Is that why you're kind of talking to me? And I said, I don't know. I started on the freshman team. I don't know that that means anything, but I think there's a chance for me to play in the future. And he said, oh, well, maybe it's a problem with your coach.
He couldn't figure it out.
No, I said, Tom Osborne's this fine Christian man. He's one of the really good guys. And he said, did you see the stadium when you drove in, how big it is? And I said, actually, yeah. And it's smaller than Seacrest Field and Lincoln, the high school field. And he said, yeah. So what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'd become a Christian. I just don't have any motivation. I don't know why I should do what I'm doing. And he said, you know, young man, I'm going to give you some piece of advice. Get in the car, go back home. And he said, you just start praying that God would show you and start reading his word because you don't need to come up here. Hmm. You really don't. And so I said, okay. I jumped back in the car, came back. A couple of days later, I went into my first Christian bookstore ever. It's Maranatha Christian Bookstore. Some of your older listeners from Lincoln will probably know it. The Dwork family had it. They were at one time, I know, at Indian Hills, probably at that time they were. And So I walked in and I was just kind of looking around, like, what kind of place is this? And the manager is a guy named Doug Dwork, and he was an athlete, was manager of the store. And I said, you know, I've got a silly question, but he said, what is it? And he says, well, I'm an athlete and I'm wondering, is there like a Bible study on how to integrate like sports and faith or anything like that? And he said, oh yeah, I got one. It just had come in. It's called The Handbook on Athletic Perfection by Wes Neal. And I got a hold of that. And he said, if you need more copies, you let me know. And so I came back 2 weeks later and I had 15 of the football players. And actually we included some of the female athletes at the University of Nebraska in the Bible study. And that changed everything, because what Wes Neal had done, this is 1974, he wrote it. A couple of years later, I got a hold of it. We're actually redoing the handbook 50 years later. Wes is still alive. But what he did is, he was a power lifter. He had trained with Athletes in Action. And he had got to a point where he wondered, kind of my question, like, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is there a better way to do it? And so he did sort of a systematic theology of sports or competition. He started in Genesis, went all the way through the Bible. And every time he saw verses that might apply to sports or how you compete, he'd put it on a 4x6 card. And pretty soon he had a pretty good stack. That stack became 18 chapters in a Bible study, again, called The Handbook on Athletic Perfection. And it impacted a whole bunch of folks. It changed my life as an athlete, a coach. And when I later met Coach Ron Brown, when he came to Nebraska in 1987, I met him at a coach's clinic. And I asked him two questions. I said, number one, why do you think God brought you to Nebraska? And he says, I think it's to share the gospel and use my platform as a Husker coach. I said, perfect. I'm doing Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Can I take you around? And he said, sure. So I took him all over the state, introduced the state to Ron, and that was tremendous. I said, secondly, have you heard of a book called The Handbook on Athletic Perfection? And he said, absolutely. My coach gave it to me. It changed the way I thought about the gospel impacting sports, my motivation, my goal, everything, success, how I viewed winning and losing. And so I knew right then, I thought, we're going to be good friends for a long time. And we have been. And that's why we did FCA for many years. And then 5 years ago, we co-founded Kingdom Sports together, again, as a way to give more of at least my energies to do more with the resources, the materials to train coaches and athletes to see there is a way to do sports God's way.
Mm. Oh, wow. What a thank you for sharing all that. What a great story. And glory be to God for directing everything in your life to bring you where you are today. A lot of things resonated with me. I went to high school at East, didn't play football, but we're close by here, just a mile down the road.
My high school teammate was John Gingery, who's still the head coach. I'm old, but he's still coaching, so I can still feel young a little bit.
That's awesome. Well, wonderful. Thank you, Gordon. Looking back on your 30 plus years of coaching experience, in addition to your years as a Nebraska football player under Coach Osborne, what lessons has God taught you? I know you've shared some, but if you could elaborate and share some more specifics.
Yeah, I think under Coach Osborne, even growing as a believer, there were things that I learned about setting priorities, sticking to priorities, sticking to your word, loyalty. I think under Coach Osborne, the one thing I saw was really the importance of being loyal as a coach to your players, players being loyal to their coach. Sometimes as a coach, I would have even Christian parents say, well, Gordon, what good is sports for my kid? And I would often say there are lessons learned, whether it's loyalty or teamwork or how you treat your opponent, how you treat officials. Like, there's tons of lessons to learn from sports. And it's like a laboratory where your kids can learn that. So even today, you know, I'm living in the Gretna area and I have 10 grandkids right in my neck of the woods. And about 4 days a week, I take 8 of the grandkids that are a little bit older to the Gretna YMCA. They're all homeschooled, so I can kind of pick the day I want to go and the gym is open. And so they don't have PE for homeschool. So I'm their coach, so I'm still coaching. And it really is fascinating because I'm still teaching them lessons. I had one of the younger ones that we were playing shooting around the world, you know, just a basic game of basketball. And he didn't like something. He went over and pouted in the corner. And I remember talking to him about it. And I said, look, if you're going to continue this, we're going to pack it up. We're going to go home for the day. And you could tell he was stubborn and he had to learn a lesson. And so it never kind of ends, right? And so we got back in the van and his brothers were kind of going, hey, you got to listen to grandpa. we're going home early because of you. But there's so many things kids learn. And It's kind of funny, but I was at a conference here just recently, and while I was there, I got a message from that YMCA, and they said they wanted to do a story on me and the 8 grandkids because I show up 4 or 5 days a week with them. And they said, we just want to show people what they could do with the YMCA. And we like that you're showing up with those grandkids and coaching and teaching. So I love to do that. Yeah. If you're a coach at heart, you never really stop coaching. And there is so much to learn from sports. And so I really want those my grandkids to understand why they do sports. And you see it happen early. Mm-hmm. Like I saw it with my grandsons when they started doing baseball at 5 and 6. And if they strike out, they go back and you can already see it. The other kids look at them like, yeah, you're not worth anything. You're like, it happens really, really early. Mm-hmm. You also see when you're doing the youth sports that as parents, you're told like at when they're young, like 6 or 7, like, well, nobody's supposed to be keeping score here, right? Mm-hmm. You guys probably know that because you probably have kids you've seen do that. But you know what I always notice? The parents, they know the score. Oh, yeah. And in fact, they tell their kids, oh, by the way, just so you know, the score was 22-18 yeah. and you lost that game. And so you really do need to help them begin to understand why you do sports, what's the purpose for it, and to have the right view. Hmm.
That's so helpful. Sports are such a part of our lives. And I think that's a good encouragement for parents just to use every opportunity to instill God's word into their children or grandchildren. Such a good example.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Deuteronomy 6, when you're going this way or that way, you're to be instilling the instructions of the Lord, you know, to your children. Ephesians 6, the same idea. That principle can be expanded to the drive to baseball practice, the drive home from the football game. There's so many instructive moments with our children that you know, our life isn't sports. Our life is in Christ and in the body of Christ as Christian parents. But we can instill and just drip those important truths about eternity to our children on the way back from, going to, during games, yeah. and even be checking our own hearts as parents, as we're, I'm saying this, I'm preaching to myself here. I'm a parent of many athletes, and there's many lessons learned for parents as well along the way.
Well, and I've also reminded those that I've coached, my own kids and now my grandkids, the Colossians 3:23, whatever you do it heartily as for the Lord rather than for man. And that very short verse is so helpful because we have a tendency to want to please man so badly. Our parents, our grandparents, the fans, it can be a distraction. It can make sports into something that's idolatrous. And so it needs to start young.
Yeah. And that segues so neatly to the next question, which is really at the heart of this podcast, which is going to be titled The Husker Legacy of Faith. In 2012, you published a book with that title, The Husker Legacy, and it's really, as I recall, you gave it to me when we first visited a couple years ago, there are many stories of Husker players, football players specifically, as I remember it, that had true faith in Christ, had saving faith, and were unashamed of using the platform God had given them in the Husker program to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. So I was wondering if you'd share a little bit about that book, Husker Legacy, what it's all about, what its purpose was, and maybe even drip in there a few stories about the Husker legacy of faith.
Yeah, and so really kind of tried to cherry pick some of the best stories that I knew and some of the players who were strong believers. And so you can go back to the 70s up through the 90s and 2000s. So I think we had everybody from maybe somebody who played even in the late 60s or maybe early 70s, whether it was Jerry Taggi who was a quarterback or Rex Burkhead who came later. But I think one of the stories that I think about the most that where I was involved and knew the guys was two guys, Tom Sorley and George Andrews, that played in the 70s. And I remember George telling me, and he was a defensive end. He was an All-American, one of the greatest defensive players in the 1970s, had a 6-year career at the Rams, still lives out in the Los Angeles area. I remember George telling me his roommate was Tom Sorley, a believer. And Tom had been sharing his faith with George as freshmen. George had gone to a party where there was we called it pot, marijuana at the time. George wasn't smoking it, but he was there and they got busted. And I'll tell you, back in the mid 70s, you're in trouble. You get kicked off a team. That's kind of it for you. And so he thought that was the end of his career. And Coach Osborne sat him down, listened to him, and just kind of said, look, I know you weren't probably doing it. I'm going to give you another chance. And so George is forever thankful for that. But he also went back to the dorm room and just was devastated and just told Tom. He just said, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing it. And so Tom was able to lead George to the Lord their freshman year. Fast forward a couple of years later, these guys are co-captains of the Huskers a few years later. One of the greatest Husker teams. In fact, they would upset Oklahoma 1978. That would save Tom Osborne's job, by the way. So that was a pretty big game. But I remember both guys impacted me, my faith, and especially being a very close friend with George, just spending time with George. And he really kind of helped disciple me in the faith. And to this day, we're very close friends. And I get to see those guys about every year, every few years, they'll come back. And one of our teammates was Jim Pillen, who's the current Nebraska governor. So we're all on that team that made upset the Oklahoma team. So we have a lot of fun. We're back together again. But just about that same time they were seniors, George spoke at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes, what we call then a Weekend of Champions, shared his faith. And there was a young high school boy who was a senior at Ansley, Nebraska, in about the middle of the Sand Hills. His name was Ken Kalin. Ken came to know the Lord through hearing George's testimony and George sharing the gospel. Ken would later walk on, earn a scholarship at Nebraska and play football at Nebraska. And he's one of the guys in the book. But you see this thread of generational thread of players impacting other players down the road. And it's pretty cool to see. And of course, Tom Osborne is a key part of it. In fact, my story with Tom is, and I'm sure he doesn't remember this, but you know, I'd become a Christian and I'm talking with Tom and he says something like, well, Gordon, you ought to kind of help get FCA going here. And I think I said something like kind of a smart aleck, like FCA, I don't know anything about Farmers Co-op of America, coach. You know, I'm a Lincoln kid. I went to Lincoln East. You remember that? And he goes, no, that's Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And he said, I went to an FCA camp in 1957, and that's where my faith became my own, not just my parents, but I really heard the gospel there. And we've had a couple of Christian guys in the 60s kind of do some things, but I really think we need to get more organization and get more of kind of an FCA thing going. So you could see the impact he had over those decades as a head coach, where he would invite players and take players to FCA bowl breakfasts, dinners, just a tremendous, really, impact he had over the years. And Coach Osborne's 86 years old. He's slowed down a little bit, but to look at him, you wouldn't know it. He's still very busy. He's still leading the teammates mentoring program that he started, impacting probably as many as 11 to 12,000 mentors and programs in public schools. And he's done a fine job there. But I think the thing that I'll always remember about him is he was very clear about his faith with everybody who ever played for him. And there were many players who would come back after their playing days and say, I came to know the Lord, maybe not at the moment I was playing for Coach Osborne, but when I got to a point in my life where I thought I needed something that was spiritual, I thought about him. I thought about what he said and the impact he had.
One of the things I take away from what you're saying is that it seems though these guys knew what kind of platform they were playing on and knew all the attention they were getting, they understood that the most important decision in their life is whether or not they're going to follow Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful to hear that legacy of faith for those who made that decision and for Ron Brown and Tom Osborne who held that up.
Well, and even when this Ken Kalin, and he all of a sudden he gets to Nebraska and he gets around a collection of about 11 or 12 guys who all have come to know the Lord, they called themselves Cornhuskers for Christ. I was doing FCA in Central Nebraska and I said, why don't you guys come on out and I'll just take you around and you guys can share your faith. And so those guys did it. And most of those guys are still around the Lincoln area, still guys that are very much an influence in their churches and MyBridge Radio and other places. But even to this day, one of the things that Coach Brown and I do, and we'll be doing this again at Indian Hills this summer at the Pass It On Camp, we call it, with younger kids, we'll probably have anywhere from 10 to 20 of the current Nebraska football players that'll come out, help us with the camp, help us with X's and O's and throw footballs and kick footballs and share their faith. And so we will do about 18 of those camps this summer. And those guys will do a lot of the helping out when we do them in Nebraska. So it's a pretty exciting thing to see a kid catch a pass from, you know, last year we had Chubba Purdy, who was one of the backup quarterbacks and started a couple games. And, you know, when kids are catching passes from guys they're going to see on TV and then they hear them share their faith, pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just love that, that ongoing passing of the torch of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. I mean, you're doing it. You guys are replicating what you saw happening in your upbringing and you were a part of as a player. Now you're doing it in this role. And having seen it happen here out in our field last summer, it really was a special occasion to see Coach Brown, some of these players, you kind of facilitating not just the throwing around the pigskin, but getting to the heart of the gospel message itself. I can't remember how many times Coach Brown shared the gospel at that Pass It On camp last summer, but it was over five. I mean, he was going hard on it, and praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for the boldness that men like him have, that players on the current team and teams gone in the past have had, and their willingness to step out boldly and proclaim the message of Christ. Not to waste that platform that they've been given.
Yeah, and may that be an encouragement to our listeners too, to make disciples as you are going, make disciples That's of right. all nations. You didn't run away from football, though you felt like, you know, you didn't know what you wanted to do. And the Lord said, no, stay in this world you're in and make and be a testimony for me. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that coach up there in Minnesota.
Yeah,
he could have had you. He could have said, hey, this is where you need to be. But he was wise and he knew that likely, because when he found out I have a scholarship and all that, he's like, you've got a lot there. And he also realized there is a way you just need to go to the Bible and you need some people around you to encourage you and show you. That's why I'm just so amazed in God's providence looking back that of all places, I go to a Christian bookstore and it happens to be a store that has it. And I get it from a guy who understood a little bit about athletics. That's the manager of the store. I'm just amazed.
Yeah. Not happenstance. So God is sovereign.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Gordon. Thank you for being here and for sharing the Husker legacy of faith with us. We appreciate you very much.
Glad to be with you. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any last words, Pastor Jesse?
As always, the final word goes to God and his word in 2 Timothy 1:13, where Paul says to Timothy, retain the standard of sound words, which you've heard from me in the faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus.
Have a great day.